Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you guys in the building, or if you're watching online, we're glad that you're joining us as we're continuing in this series, Sons and Daughters. And I get to continue this series. It's been great so far hearing from Pastor Tim and Reese, and just being reminded of what it means to be sons and daughters, that we have an opportunity to call God our Father and how that impacts our lives every day, and it really does. Now, the title of my message this morning is When It Counts. When It Counts. Because really, we want to do our best when it counts, don't we? When we're in a difficult situation or we have something that we really want to pay attention to, we want to do our best when it counts. And on the flip side, I think sometimes when we're like, oh, you know, this season of my life or whatever it is that's going on at work or at home, it's like, things aren't as heightened. So we maybe even take the foot off the gas pedal, so to speak, and kind of even go through the motions, whether at home or in our job or whatever is going on. But definitely it seems like in 2020, we feel like, wow, we really need to make this count because things are so difficult and there are so many things happening in this world. But I really believe that when it counts, we really want to do what matters, don't we? But I was thinking of this story with our daughters, Joelle and Margot. So Margot's going to be 2 in November. Joelle's going to be 4 in November. It's coming up pretty quick. But I love when they play with their little dolls. You know, they call them their babies. Those of you who have kids, maybe you've seen that, you know, with your own kids. But it's really cute, right? They're like, hold the baby doll, and then they're like, you know, burping the baby, changing the baby's diaper, or they will shush their baby, you know, like, shh, you know, to calm the baby down. And they'll pretend and put the baby down on, you know, on the couch and with a pillow, and then put a blanket over the baby, and then pretend to feed the baby with a bottle, and so there's like milk in it, right? So it's really cute, and you take pictures. It's, you know, we love that, and it really shows they're caring and they're using their imagination. All that is really good. But one thing is, when they're done playing with the baby, sometimes it could be pretty abrupt. You know, the dog runs by. It's like, squirrel, right? What was that? You know, it's like they immediately, okay, we're done with this. So they might, they're holding the baby, just drop the baby, and you're like, you know, but when you first see that, you're like, what are you doing? Or, you know, they're pretending to play with the baby, and they might, you know, smother the baby with a blanket or put the, you know, pillow over the baby, and you're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? But I know as a parent, it doesn't really count. It's not a real baby. It's a doll, right? So it's like, it's okay, you know, you can be like, you know, they're using their imagination and they're playing and they are showing some tender compassion in their own little ways, but to not freak out because we know it doesn't count. But when they're 25 and, you know, I set up an arranged marriage for them and they get married and then they have a baby at that point, then it's going to count. That is when it matters, right? I won't do that. I don't think they'll like that. So, but we know that really, we really want to do what matters when it counts the most. Or I even think of football. Those of you who like the NFL, and this year there wasn't really a preseason. But imagine a normal year; it's preseason. I'm like, well, that doesn't count. I'm like, when I was a huge NFL fan, I would rarely watch the preseason. Why? You know, the starters barely play, or maybe they play a half, and if they win or lose, it doesn't really count. It doesn't matter. What matters is the regular season or the playoffs, if your team is good enough to get there. That is what counts. And we really want to do what counts, don't we? When it matters, when it counts, what is that? What is God asking us to do? And ultimately, really, this life does count. For sure, we have those moments, like I said, with Margot and Joelle. Yeah, that didn't really count. But really, our whole life matters. So what is God asking us to do? With so many things grabbing our attention, especially in 2020, there's so many things, COVID-19, an election year, there's all of these things that are grabbing our attention. This is what counts. This is what matters. I might even say, like, what happens in November with the election, that is going to count. That is going to change everything. But ultimately, I really believe no matter what happens, you know, every 4 years there's an election, or now we're here in 2020 and it's been a nightmare, let's just be honest, but there's no guarantee. What is 2021 going to give us? We don't really know. But ultimately, no matter what happens, no matter who's elected, no matter what pandemics might happen, no matter the racial tension, all of these things, if we do this, what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 5. This will sustain us. This will bring us the hope that we need. This will help us no matter what happens in the next month or in the next few years if we do what Paul is asking of us. So that's what we're going to look at this morning in Galatians. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, I even just want to take a moment to realize that we can call you, Father, if we've placed our trust in you, that we are your sons and daughters. That is good news and so refreshing that we can continue to go to you in the good times, in the bad times, whatever we're going through right now in 2020, that you meet us there and that we can call you our Father. And we're so thankful for that because of what Jesus has done for us, that we can call you Father. Thank you. Be with us this morning. Be with me as I share from your word. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, what do we do in this life when it counts? That's what we want to be about, right? So when it counts, we want to do what counts. And in Galatians, we've been looking at that really in this series, most of this series, Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. And Paul, he's really having to deal with a difficult situation because many of these followers of Jesus, they've been led astray a little bit. They've been distracted by the people there. There were some Jewish Christians that were telling them, this is what counts. What counts is being circumcised, following the law, following the regulations that was from, you know, in the Old Testament with the law there. But when Jesus comes around and he lays down his life for us, when we place our trust in him, then we can be called sons and daughters. We can be part of the family of God. We can be part of Abraham's family by faith, Paul says in Romans chapter 4. And Paul also says in Galatians how we can receive the promise, the Holy Spirit by faith and not by the works of the law. So Paul is dealing with these things with the church in Galatia. Now Paul says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. He says, through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Now, the hope of righteousness is now, and then it's also in the future. A few weeks ago in this series, and even in our previous series, Awaken, I referenced a verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's not on the screen, but for God made him who knew no sin, Jesus made him a sin offering so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And because of what God has done in Jesus, that we receive this righteousness. And in Romans 4, Paul talks about how we've been credited the righteousness of Jesus if we've placed our trust in him. A few weeks ago, I talked about how we can be in the red when it comes to our sin. And imagine like a bank account, and we can be in the red with all the sin that we got going on. But when we place our trust in Jesus, we don't just go to zero. We get credited the riches of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus. So when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. What good news that is. And that is something that happens when we place our trust in Jesus. It continues to happen even as we stumble and fall as followers of Jesus, as we fall short in this life. God looks at us and sees that righteousness. How freeing that is for each and every one of us that have placed our trust in Jesus. But then there's a hope of righteousness to come. That, yes, God, we are right in God's sight because of Jesus now. But then there's going to come a time when God will right all the wrongs of this world. He will right the wrongs in us fully. And I wanted to make reference to a verse here in Romans chapter 8, Paul's letter to the churches in Rome. He says this in verse 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So we see here, notice there's a theme even with the Galatians 5 passage that we just looked at, that we wait eagerly for the hope of righteousness, and we are waiting eagerly for the full adoption. And we're talking about being sons and daughters, adopted as sons and daughters. This, when we really fully are just that full adoption, that our bodies will be redeemed. So God, we're in the right now, and then God is ultimately going to right all the wrongs. And one of the wrongs is that our bodies are broken down, they decay, they die, and that we will be have a redeemed body. Another way to think of it is that Jesus, he was resurrected. He has a resurrected body. He was in the tomb, but then he defeated death. And then that what happened to Jesus will happen to us. He has a resurrected body, so will we. This is our hope that we have to come. So what do we do as we wait? We wait eagerly. And that's kind of an interesting way to put it. We're waiting. And I kind of think of it as like, we're waiting at Valley Fair for like a ride. You know, I've been to Valley Fair once with our youth, not this past summer because it was closed. That was a bummer. But the summer before that, we went, and actually the lines weren't that bad. But I could imagine when you're waiting for this long line, it could be like, why is this taking so long? Or I remember I grew up in Southern California, so I was an annual pass holder at Disneyland, and that was awesome. But there were some long lines over there. I remember being there when they opened Cars Land. That was like a big deal, like the after the movie Cars in Disney California Adventure, and going there. And I was there opening day when they opened up that land, and they had Radiator Springs Racers. I was so looking forward to going on that ride. Going there, and that wait was 7 hours. Can you imagine? Some people waited 7 hours for that ride. I was like, wow, that is pretty intense. Thankfully, there was a single rider line and I only had to wait 45 minutes. And I remember sitting in the car and I'm like, how long have you guys been waiting? They're like, 7 hours. I'm like, I don't think I should tell them I only waited 45 minutes, but thankful for the single rider kind of line. But you think like, what do you do when you're waiting? You're like, I'm really bored. I'm like, when is this line going to be done? I'm like, what do you, if you have kids, you got to entertain them. Or now with smartphones, maybe you can be on social media or do a TikTok with your friend or something. Trent, maybe I'll do a TikTok with you someday. That'd be fun as we're waiting in line at Valley Fair. But you think like, what are you going to do when you're waiting for something? And I think waiting for this hope of righteousness, waiting for the full adoption, that waiting for this redemption. We're not just passing time. We're not just like, let me try not to avoid everything until we get there, or to just hide out in my basement until Jesus comes again or something like that. No, what God has for us, I believe, is, as I've said at the beginning of this message, when it counts, we want to do what counts. That's what we do as we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. And Paul is going to get to that here in just a second. But I wanted to read the first half of verse 6. And that Paul says, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. So he's saying already, well, these things don't count. These two things, the circumcised life or the uncircumcised life, or mindset, if you some people put it like that. Or another way that I have it in here is a meticulous religion that says, as I said in the beginning, Paul is getting this a different teaching that really isn't the gospel of you need to follow these laws, you need to be circumcised, and yes, it's good to have faith in Jesus, but add on these religious things. And that is not the way to go. Let's live like a life that has nothing to do with God, that you disregard God and his ways, and we'll just do whatever we want, whenever we want, with whomever we want. You know, right? It's a free country. I'll do what I want. Thank you very much. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want. I thought of another way to put this. As I was processing and praying about this message, is survival mode. So hopefully this makes sense. So bear with me here for a minute. Survival mode, as I think of this term, maybe you guys have heard it, is you're in survival mode, and I don't think it's always bad, when things are heightened, when things are difficult. And sometimes this could be good, like you have a newborn at home, and then you also have a few other kids running around, and you're not getting sleep. You have to wake up every few hours to feed your baby. Your baby's not sleeping through the night yet. And those can be rough times where you're kind of in survival mode. Or maybe you have a difficult season in your work. Or maybe you're a student. I remember being in seminary and working at a church, and it's finals week. It's like, okay, I got to kind of be in survival mode during those few weeks. We have those seasons. But one thing that I've noticed is A lot of times when we're in survival mode, a few weeks could be turned into a few months. A few months can turn into a few years. And then the next thing you know, this is your life, is survival mode all the time. And then your stress comes in, anxiety comes in, all the things that you're trying to juggle. And then on top of that, you're not sleeping because of everything that you have going on. And I really believe when you're in survival mode, you can lean one of those two ways, the circumcised life and the uncircumcised life. You can go in one of those, whatever is more your default, you can go to that when you're in survival mode. So one thing to think about is, well, what is your default? Or maybe, I was thinking, like, I think I kind of do both. It's like, I'm just stressed. I got so many things going on, and so I'm going to just do whatever I want. Maybe I need to eat more. Maybe I need to self-medicate, all of the things that could be really bad. So then I'm like, well, I feel really guilty, so let me go over here, and then let me now be really religious. God, what do I need to do to please you and to do these things that I think that I need to do so that God would accept me again? So maybe you do that. So I just ask that you would pray and consider, where are you when it comes to these things? And ultimately, when we are in survival mode, or you'll see it on the screen, if we are in survival mode when it counts, we fall short. So it's interesting that when things are heightened, when we really want to do what counts, really survival mode is not the way to go, because we're relying on our own strength. We're not slowing down, and we end up hurting those that we love, or if there's a tough situation, saying or doing something that we wish we could take back because we're in that survival mode. Especially in going back to this year that we're in, this season that we're in, you could see on social media, people probably shouldn't say some of the things that they say on there, and that's out there forever, right? So in this world that we live in, that there's so many things that we're in survival mode, we're so stressed, we're so anxious, and we have all of these things that are going on that are dividing us. So what does Paul ultimately say matters? What counts when it matters the most? And he says this in the second part of verse 6, only faith working through love. That is what counts. What counts is faith expressing itself in love. This is what counts. This is what matters the most. No matter what happens in this world, if we are living this out, this will sustain us. This will bring hope to a world that needs it, a world that there seems to be little love, little grace in the cancel culture that we live in, that we have an opportunity to live a different way that really is life-giving to ourselves and then also to those who don't know the love of God. I wanted to mention this too about faith. Faith is trusting confidently in God's reliability, in his faithfulness, that when we trust him, we trust that he will come through, that he has called us his sons and daughters, that he has forgiven us, he has credited to us the righteousness of Jesus, and he will do that fully for us to come with the hope of righteousness, redeeming our body, that full adoption that we have to come. And ultimately, I think of trusting in God's faithfulness. Sometimes I think, I'll just, put my hands together, make a fist, and just, I'm in survival mode, so I'm just going to have more faith, and then I can love, because I've willed myself to do that. It's almost like using survival mode to get out of survival mode, and I'm like, I don't think that is the way to go either. It really is almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. As we desperately want to be a light in this world, we desperately want to love our family, we want to raise up our kids to follow Christ, we desperately want to show and share the love of Jesus. So the way that we do that is to do it in our own strength, is to rely on ourselves, to be in that survival mode. And ultimately, God is saying, trust me, slow down. Even pause and trust that he is faithful and he will come through. We know the end of the story. We know what he's going to do. And what is our part as we eagerly await for that moment? I almost think of it as like the grass, and it receives rain and it rains down. It showers upon the rain comes down on the grass. It's God showering down his goodness, his faithfulness in our lives, and we receive that by slowing down and waiting for him to empower us by his Spirit. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit empowers our faith so that we can love. The Holy Spirit empowers our faith so that we can love. What did Paul say in verse 5? He talked about how through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. That the Holy Spirit is working with our faith, empowering us so that we can eagerly wait to anticipate that hope of righteousness to come, to get ready for that moment. And we can see here in verse 22 a famous passage in Galatians 5 that many of us know. Even some of the kids like the Fruit of the Spirit song, which I won't sing that for you this morning. But verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit is love. That means that we are being led by the Spirit, and that fruit is produced in us, this love that comes from God. And I want to say that when we love like this, and we have this faith that expresses itself in love, it's nothing short than the love of God. I want to say, like, God is loving people, you know, through us, which is true. But I also want to just take a moment to realize the significance of saying when we love and it's a fruit of the Spirit, God is loving others, period. He is loving others, period, through us. And that is humbling. That is amazing. It really is brings significance to our lives. When we love people as a fruit of the Spirit, it's God's love. It's awesome. It is so cool that we have an opportunity as a church family, and really as the church, the Big C Church, to show the love of God to a world that needs it. And we've said here over the years at Trinity, this is a place where love lives, and we've said more recently that we're sent to love like Jesus. And when we do that, we are really showing, demonstrating the love of God to others. So what counts is faith expressing itself in love? I also wanted to read this verse in Galatians chapter 6. So Paul actually says there's something else that counts. Now, at first glance, you might think, like, are these things related or are they not? And they actually all are related, as we will see. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, Paul says this, "For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." So what counts is a new creation. That is what counts. The hope of righteousness and the new creation are speaking of the same thing. This hope of righteousness that we have to come, that we are right in God's sight now, but then in the future, that we have this full adoption as we eagerly await that, and that our bodies will be redeemed and God will right the wrongs of this world. But then we also have this new creation that is to come, that as we saw in the Romans passage, that creation along with us is eagerly awaiting for this adoption, that there will be a new creation. And that what God has done in Jesus, he will do for the whole world. Or I have here in just a second, what God did in Jesus, he will do in us. And what God did in Jesus, he will do to the whole world. That is what he will do. You can read about that in Revelation, the new heavens and the new earth. This is what is to come. So what do we do as we eagerly await for this moment? What do we do? Are we just waiting in line? Like, is there like another line? Is there like a fast pass line, you know? Or is there like a single rider line I can go through so I don't have to wait so long for this hope of righteousness, for this new creation? Or, you know, is there something I can do to pass the time so that, or is there some way I can do to just to so that I'm not damaged so much by this world or whatever it is that we might think, which ultimately, I thought all of those things. I want the hope of righteousness yesterday. I want new creation yesterday. We all long for that. But the way that we eagerly await then is we become new creations. That's what we do. We become new creations. That's what we do as we eagerly await for this moment. And I love that this line that we're in, you know, to use that metaphor I'm using, we're waiting for this. And a lot of times you wait for a ride, or you're waiting for whatever, that you're like, is this ride going to let me down? I've waited 7 hours for this ride at Disneyland. Like, maybe it's, and it only lasts like a minute. It's like, wow, that was a letdown. But when we are waiting for the hope of righteousness, when we are waiting for new creation, that will not let us down. It will be better than anything we've ever waited for. So if that is the case, then let's become new creations. Let's do what matters. Let's do what counts in the season we're in. Since this is our future, let's do what counts. And my big idea for us this morning is, what counts is faith working through love. That's what counts. That's what matters. When things count, we want to do what matters. This isn't, we're not pretending. We're not like Margo and Joelle when they're 2 and 4, like with a pretend baby. No, we are really, this season, this whole life that we are in, it counts, it matters. So let's do that. Let's have our faith express itself in love. And let's trust in Him. Not to, like I said, like to use survival mode to get out of survival mode, because that will not sustain us. Oh, we will only stumble. We will only fall if we do that. And our love will fall way short of the love of God. But if we rely on Him, if we slow down and receive that good news, receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I love Acts 1, which is up here, but Paul, Jesus, He tells the disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. To not just to go like, okay, Jesus is resurrected, so now just go in and do ministry and show and share the love of Jesus, make disciples. He says, hold on. Wait for the promise of the Father. What would happen if we slowed down and waited for the Holy Spirit to empower us? And I thought, like, this could be a hard thing to, like, grab a hold of. Well, what does that really look like? But I don't know about you, but at least for me, I know when I'm in survival mode for too long. I know I'm like, I haven't prayed, I haven't slowed down, I haven't, spent time with the Lord, I haven't been with my small group, or I haven't been held accountable by somebody that I trust who's a follower of Jesus. We know that these things, when we're just in survival mode and we don't have time to slow down, that we can sense that. Then I'm short with my wife or with my kids, or I'm short with my friends, or I'm angry and frustrated. I can't even be on social media for a minute, let alone a half an hour, when I'm in survival mode, because it just gets me so angry. And I'm like, this is not okay. So we know, I believe, and we can ask God, show me what is going on. Show me how I can not be in survival mode. And maybe I need to not be on social media at all until my heart is in a better place. We can ask God these things, and depending on where you're at with this, it is different, but slow down and ask God what you need to do to get out of survival mode. But I'm excited that if the church then does have a faith that is working through love, it really, ultimately doesn't matter what happens in November. It doesn't happen 4 years from now in November. Whatever happens, as important as those things are in our lives, really what counts is new creation. What if the church became a new creation? We look more like Jesus than we did last year, or next year we continue to move in that direction as we are sent to love like Jesus. That is what matters. That is what counts, no matter what happens in the next few months or in the next few years, as that will sustain us and that will bring hope to this world. Now, I wish I could say, now that I said that, now let's go and love like Jesus, and then we won't ever stumble and fall, right? It's like, well, no, we continue to do that, and God is so gracious. Even as we have been made right in God's sight, and we have the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus credited to our account, we do stumble. We do fall. We do fall short of this love. And ultimately, God isn't like looking at us with a microscope waiting for us to mess up, right? In this cancel culture that we live in. That one tweet that was 10 years ago. Now you are canceled. Now you are done. It's like, no, God has, He looks at us no matter what, and He sees the righteousness of Jesus. That does mean, though, that we need to confess. We need to go to Him. But He is so faithful. Not to, when we confess, He smacks us over the head with the Bible. But He is so loving and so gracious. And He's not going to be done with us. Couldn't help but think of this story, too, with my girls. I guess we're just in the midst of these things with young kids. And just the last few weeks, Joelle has wanted Andrea to take them, her and Margot, to daycare. Normally, I do that. I take them to daycare, and then Andrea can get going at work. She's working at home right now in the season. But lately, Joelle's been a little clingy, so she's wanted Andrea to take her to daycare. But just the other day, Joelle's like in a good mood, and she's wanting me to take her and Margot to daycare. I'm like, oh, this is great. And you gotta, you know, be careful with this. She's in a good mood. Let's not mess anything up to change this mood. Okay, you know, we're getting ready for the day, and she's brushing her teeth, and we're doing all these things to get her ready. And they're all dressed. They're all ready to go, and I'm at the door. And we're ready to leave. I'm like ready. Everyone is ready. And we have like this shelf where I put my keys, because I put my keys at the same place so I don't forget them. So I reach up to grab the keys to put them in my pocket. I'm like, and then we're out the door. But I reach, grab the keys, and when I put them in my pocket, her head is right there. So I smack her in the head with my fist and with the keys, and she just loses it. And that just ruined everything. Thankfully, she didn't get any cuts or she didn't bleed or anything like that. But she was upset. She did not like me in that moment. And she is like, I want mom to take me to daycare now. Even though I'm ready, everyone is ready, she wants mom to do that. I wonder, though, it's a funny story, but I still love her. But I wonder if we think like that with God. You know, where it's like, I don't want to get God angry, and I've got to do all of these things. And when one thing goes wrong, God's like, I'm done with you. I cancel you. Or you're not taking me to daycare. Or whatever we think, it's like, no, that is not how God is. He's not waiting for that moment for us to mess up, and then he's done with us. He is loving. He is gracious. And when we mess up, he sees that righteousness of Jesus credited to our account. And I wanted to read this verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. In John's one of his letters, he says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, when we confess, God will forgive. He will cleanse as we become new creations. This is what he does for us. He cleanses, he forgives if we confess. He's not looking for that one moment where we mess up, but we can go to him. We are freed. We are freed so that we can then live for God and we can become new creations and head down as we anticipate. We eagerly anticipate the hope of righteousness. We eagerly anticipate the new creation. I wanted to end here with these discussion questions as we are encouraging all of you to maybe with your spouse, maybe with your community group or some friends here, that you can go through these questions, begin to think through them yourself, but then also to share that with someone that you know. But the first question I have here is, when you're in survival mode, what is your default? Because we do, many of us have that default. Is it that circumcised mindset, lifestyle, or is it the uncircumcised? Or even as I said, maybe you go from one to another depending on your personality. And just ask God that and think through that as you're processing that question. Another question is, what can you stop doing or start doing to get out of survival mode? And I want to be careful with that question because where you don't want to do this in our own strength, well, I'm going to use survival mode, right, to get out of survival mode. No, many times, and I wouldn't be surprised if we need to stop doing some things. We need to slow down. There's actually God-given limitations that we all have. We all have 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. Sometimes I wish I had more, but we can continue. Even if we did have more, we'd probably fill up that time as well. So to remember that and ask God, what do I need to do? You know, I need to rest. I need to sleep. I need to have a Sabbath. How can I slow down so that I can get out of this mode of where I'm exhausted, where I'm just done? Because ultimately, God wants us to not stay being weary. And if that's where you're at, that's okay. He doesn't want that to be forever. He wants us to run. He wants us to soar high on wings like eagles. That is what he wants for each and every one of us. The last question I have on here is, what would love look like in a difficult situation in your life? What would love look like in a difficult situation in your life? Really, like a faith expressing itself in love, that's what we're supposed to be about. In a difficult situation in your life, what would that look like? What would that look like? And really, as we are waiting, right, eagerly waiting in line here for this hope of righteousness, I'm here to say that many times as we're waiting and we're getting closer, that it's not just an easy road, an easy path. There's potholes, there's speed bumps, there's all of these things, and it's difficult. But that is when love needs to show up. Wouldn't you agree? That is when it matters. And I've seen that in my life, in difficult situations, time and time again. That is when faith needs to express itself in love. So what is that for you? And it could be different for, you know, many of us, and maybe for every one of us as we think about that. But I'm excited and looking forward to see what would it look like as we become more and more about showing and sharing the love of Jesus, that we would have a faith that expresses itself in love, and that will sustain us no matter what happens in the next season in our life. Let me pray. Father, I am thankful again that we can call you Father. Thank you that you've shown us what counts, what matters. When it counts, we need to be about love. We need to be about new creation. And as we move toward that, that will bring hope to this world. It will bring love to a world that really needs love. We pray, and I pray, that many would come to know you in this season that right now is divided and people are angry and frustrated and weary and all of these things. We just pray that you would show up in our lives and in the lives of those around us, that they would see your love shine through in a time that is dark in this world. That we can eagerly be excited for this moment as we get closer and we know that day is to come, the hope of righteousness, new creation, and that we would look forward to and anticipate that and be excited as we see, and even in this difficult season we're in, I've seen you show up. I've seen you show your love. I've seen you save people who are on the brink. And even in the last few months, in the last 6 months with COVID and all this stuff, you've continued to show up in dark times. We're thankful for that. I pray for those in the room here who might not know this love, that you would show your love to them, that they would place their trust in you, that this righteousness would be credited to their account. And we know that you can and will do that. That anyone in here who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved and then can be called a son and a daughter. I pray that you would show each and every one of us by your Spirit areas that we need to slow down or stop doing, and that we wouldn't use survival mode to get out of survival mode, but that we would go to you, that you will shower down on us your grace, your goodness, and your Holy Spirit, and then out of that, that we would go and show and share your love, that we would go and bear the fruit of love and bear all the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm thankful for what you're doing and what you will continue to do. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.